This is Dwayne Kasem. This is our midweek Bible study here at New Berean Baptist Church. We have a new series to look into today. It's called The Life and Times of the Apostle Peter. The Life and Times of the Apostle Peter. We're going to look at an introduction to who Peter was and some of the things that he's known to have done or said. Then we're going to walk through the Bible in some passages dealing with the Apostle Peter and the book of Acts and his relationship with Jesus Christ and the type of character that he was as a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ and leader of the first century church as it began there in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 2 with the preaching of the gospel message in his first sermon. So let us go ahead and think about our theme verse in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 16. It says that Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Don't you know, he did that all of his life, representing and declaring Christ. After Jesus was ascended and went up into heaven, Peter did that first sermon, and he stuck with his guns until he was martyred. Let us pray. Merciful and gracious Father, as we open up our Bibles, we ask that you would help us to learn what you would have us to know from the scriptures, from the truths that are found in the Bible. Give us understanding. Let us apply these truths into our lives as we walk it out in shoe leather. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The life and times of the Apostle Peter. Hope you will join us as we look in this character study of this apostle, Simon Barjona, otherwise known as Peter. We're going to be walking through the pages of the Bible as we see him as an humble fisherman leaving his trade. And he followed Jesus Christ and he became a disciple of Jesus. So who was Peter in the Bible? Originally, he was born by the name Simon. This was a common Jewish name in the New Testament. He was the son of Jonah. His mother is not mentioned in Scripture. We know he had a younger brother called Andrew, and it was Andrew who first brought him to Jesus. He lived in a town called Bethsaida. It's on the western coast of the Sea of Galilee. Philip was also one of that bunch, and he was brought up by the shores of Galilee, and they were trained in the occupation or the job of being a fisherman. They were fishermen. We don't know much about Peter's father, but we know that he and these other brothers were probably brought up or had some relationship with Zebedee and his wife Salome, who were the fathers of mother of James and John. So these four guys, they hung out together. They probably spent their early years together. So they hung out, and we had some that were disciples of the John the Baptist, like Andrew. And so they came and they spent their boyhood doing this, you might say, fellowship. You know, guys hang out. So Simon and his brother, they would have gone through religious training as all of the young men did in that day. But only those who dared to learn more about Scripture were the ones that were taken under the wings by rabbis. So after Peter finished doing his 13 years and so of studying the scriptures. More than likely, he did not go into further explanation. You might recall that in Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, when he was appearing before the Sanhedrin, they said that he looked like an unlearned man, which would imply that he had not gone to seminary. He had not gone to the school of the rabbis to get deep in the scriptures. Doesn't mean he didn't know the scriptures. He was just not one of the, couldn't call him Dr. Peter. So we know that he died as a martyr. He was given the choice of how he should die. And it was in Rome, probably around 67 or so AD. And the tradition says that he and his wife were both walked out to be killed, to be martyred. So we know he was a married man, and evidently his wife at various times was in travel with him. We don't know anything about any children that he had. But the thing that we can look at from the first time that we see Peter in his conversations with Jesus and the times that he's been rebuked by the Lord or other times that he has had some comments come out of his mouth that Jesus had to shake his head with. At the end, he requested to be crucified upside down, for he was, in his mind, unworthy to have the same type of death as Jesus, his Lord and Savior, did. He wrote two letters. First and Second Peter, we call them. We know that John Mark, his nephew, likely wrote down many of the things in the Gospel of Mark from conversations with Peter. Then we look at the relationship that Jesus and Peter had. This was a really interesting relationship. You go through all of the Gospels, and even in the Gospel of John, where John seems to bring out the best and the worst in Peter. Many conversations were recorded, and probably the last conversation that Jesus had with Peter was at the lake there at Galilee, and the conversation about, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? What an interesting conversation that must have been. When the Lord first met him, his name was Simon. That was his name, Simon Bar-Jonah. But after that, Jesus gave him a nickname, and he said that from here out, he's going to call him Cephas. That's an Aramaic name corresponding to the Greek of Petros, which means a mass of rock detached from living rock. A mass of rock detached from the living rock. It does not mean Simon as a translation, it means a rock, a living rock. And as you continue to read the Gospels, you find that Peter gradually replaces the old name Simon. So Jesus refers to him as Peter. He refers to him as Peter, and that's how he's spoken of throughout the book of Acts and in many of the other Gospels. Spoken of as Peter, the rock. Now, that might be a cool name if you want to be like The Rock, that's the former wrestler and now actor. But he was a different kind of rock. He wasn't the same very outspoken, sure of himself, like the Dwayne Johnson, known as The Rock. He was a little different. He could open his mouth, but often some strange things came out and fell to the floor. And Jesus a few times had to pull him back. He was quick to jump out the boat He jumped out of the boat when he saw Jesus on the beach cooking, you know, getting breakfast ready. And he jumped out of the boat when he saw Jesus walking on the water. And I guess he just liked jumping out of boats for some reason, but that's how he was. We don't know what this first conversation that he had with Jesus was, but we know that he changed his name. And in this particular time, there were four buddies, the four fishermen, Simon, Andrew, James, and John. They had gone fishing all night. They were tired. And Jesus appeared suddenly and entered into Simon's boat and told him to launch forth and to let down the nets. We see that in Luke chapter 5, verses 7 through 11. So, it says, so they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled their boats so full they began to sink. What happened? Well, Jesus told them to go out after they had been fishing all night and there was nothing, because he had a miracle waiting for them. This miracle was done right before Simon's eyes. And the awestruck disciple cast himself at the feet of Jesus. He said, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. Say what you want about Peter. People have a lot to say about Peter, but that right there tells a whole lot about him. The awe-stricken disciple cast himself at the feet of Jesus. In Luke chapter 5, verse 8, when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. Jesus addressed him with some assuring words. These same assuring words are words that would apply to us as well. When we see that we have fallen short, when we see that we haven't seen Jesus eye to eye, when we can say, get away from me, Lord. I'm no good. I'm not worthy. Go away from me, Jesus. I'm just a sinful man. But Jesus reassured him and said, fear not, and announced to him what his life work was going to be. He said that he was going to be a fisher of men. And after that, we find him in constant contact with the Lord Jesus Christ as he began to learn his Savior. Here's another thing. Jesus, when he met these guys to get to know them, he didn't go to the local seminary. He didn't go to the local synagogue. He didn't put an ad looking for the most best Bible students. He went down to a lake and got some old rough fishermen. What was going to be their job? They were going to be the apostles who would work the gospel after Jesus returned to heaven. Why is he looking for just ordinary people? Are you ordinary people? I know I am. Some people might think I'm a little odd from ordinary, but God still has decided to use me in my life. So while we can all say, go away from me, Lord, here's Jesus, not looking in a place of higher education, but at a lake looking for some fishermen to become ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In fact, in Mark chapter 3, verses 13 through 19, Jesus calls them apostles. Now, I know we've heard that, from time to time, the only people who can be apostles are people who lived and saw Jesus. But there were different definitions and different people who became apostles in the book of Acts. And so it's more than just the 12 minus Judas plus Matthias. There were several people, including Paul, and even Barnabas was called an apostle. So Jesus called these guys apostles. They were to be his special messengers, his sent ones. These were the people who were fishers of men. And so as we go through the Gospels, we'll see that Simon Peter becomes more of the spokesman for the group. He starts to have a type of leadership amongst this merry band of fellas. And so twice we see that he admits who Jesus is. One of them is in Matthew chapter 16, when in response to Jesus' question of who do men say that I am and who do you say I am, Peter said that he was the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. That's when he said, "Thou art Peter, rock, and upon this rock I will build my church." So he was one of the 12 apostles of Jesus Christ, and he was leader of the early church. So his name has been known in the Bible as Simon, Simeon, Peter, and Cephas, or the Rock. And so we see he's mentioned in all of the Gospels, and he's probably the first person that Jesus calls on most of the time. And he was followed by his brother Andrew, James, and John. These were the four horsemen, if you will, that hung around Jesus quite a bit as far as the inner circle. So what else can we know about Peter? Well, he was a person who, well, he was different. Let's just put it that way. I'm trying to say it in a kind way. He was a bit different. He was outspoken, but not necessarily thinking about what he should say. He often said something and thought about it later. And he obviously was not a very good swordsman, because when he tried to protect Jesus, he didn't kill the guy, he cut off his ear. So I guess that's why he was a fisherman and not a swordsman. He denied Christ, not once, not twice, but three times. But he came back when Jesus saw him on the boat, and he restored Peter's confidence and assured him that he would go and be a great leader, as he would, as Jesus put it, feed the flock. This Peter was the same Peter who preached to thousands of people there in Jerusalem. Now, in the book of Acts in chapter 2, it says 3,000 souls were saved that day. I want us to make sure we understand. If 3,000 souls were saved that day, there were other people who were not saved that day. So it was more than 3,000. It could have been up to 10,000 people. We don't know. But it was a whole lot of folks that heard this man, this unlearned man, as the people in the Sanhedrin would say. He preached the first gospel sermon when the church had got started. This was the same man who had denied Christ three times, which tells me that God can use anybody. Never think that you have to be perfect to be a Christian. Christians are imperfect people who have called on a perfect God to be their Savior, and we worship Him in that mindset. He was a messenger to Cornelius, the Gentile, who was strong in the Lord and loving God, but he did not know how to have a relationship with God. And so an angel appeared to him and said, "Go send for Peter." And when Peter came, he became the Gentiles that first began to speak in tongues for the purpose of letting people know that they truly were Christians, even though they were Gentiles and not Jews, they had gotten saved. And he was a great fellow in that liking, that he was willing to go and talk to the Gentiles when other Jews probably would not have wanted to do that. He's famous for the 70 times 7, if you remember that, where he came up and posed the question to Jesus, how many times do I have to forgive my brother? I'm quite sure his brother was probably sitting there listening to him, going, oh, really? What's this all about? And he said 7 times 7, wherein the religious folks believed that after you had forgiven someone 3 times, the 4th time, no. But so Peter added a few more to it, and then Jesus told him, no, 70 times 7. We know he was the first disciple to enter the tomb after Christ had been crucified. And he, of course, saw Jesus there in the transfiguration. And he decided he was going to make a tent for Jesus and Moses and Elijah. And God spoke up and I guess put the fear of God in him and said, you need to listen to my son. So there's some things that Peter did and some things that Peter didn't do. But he's an interesting character. But I want to tell you, if you really want to talk about Peter, the words integrity, the words humble, the words holy, the words dedicated unto death, those words apply to Peter as well, not just the ones that people tease him about. I don't know what conversations I might have with Peter if I ever get up to talk with him, but I'm quite sure that I'm going to be blessed, because if you read the first and second letters, the epistles that Peter wrote, what a guy. It shows the relationship that he had with Jesus Christ rubbed off on him fairly well. And it's a blessing just to read those two letters. So we're going to be talking about those letters as over the weeks and some of the other things that Peter has said and done, and some of the situations that he's been in, such as when Paul and Peter had a little rebuking session there in Galatians chapter 2, as reported by Paul, when Peter kind of slacked off because he was eating with the Gentiles, until the Peter that came with James, Jesus' brother, came, and he kind of backed off and acted like he didn't want to be around the Gentiles, and